Welcome and thanks for listening to our podcast. Our topic is the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The tournament came to a closure less than 24 hours ago, with France winning the final against Croatia. In the past 4 weeks, it was all about the sport. But prior to the first whistle, political controversies, especially in the host nation Russia, were just as important. That's why we also want to talk about these aspects before we focus on the sport itself.
Ever since FIFA awarded the World Cup to Russia back in December 2010, the Football Association was repeatedly criticized for this decision.
Yes, in fact, for the first time in history, two World Cup locations were selected at once, 2018 in Russia and the event in 2022 in Qatar.
Both very controversial.
Obviously, Russia has got some history connected to football and had some great teams on the club football level in the 1980s and 1990s, unlike Qatar.
That's true, but the country is in constant trouble with human rights, freedom of speech, and obviously Putin is a very debatable figure, basically in control of politics for almost two decades without proper opposition.
One of his biggest supporters on a political level is Vitaly Mutko, who is now Deputy Prime Minister of Russia and was in charge of the Ministry of Sports before that, the Russian Football Union, the National Olympic Committee, and even Russian football club Zenit St. Petersburg in the last couple of years.
Just imagine that in Germany. It's actually unthinkable. He was also controlling the whole World Cup project, including the venues and other preparations.
But he eventually stepped down after controversies connected to Russia's doping issues, with many saying he was the crucial figure.
This even led to politicians considering a ban of the World Cup, with the teams still participating but without political representation. However, representatives attending the event included Philippe of Belgium and Emmanuel Macron.
After hooligan clash at the 2016 Euros in France, many were worried about potential riots. Due to extensive security measures in place, these were avoided. The only notable incident was the pitch invasion by four Pussy Riot activists in the final, who were arrested. Before we discuss the recent World Cup, let's briefly talk about the history of the beautiful game.
It wasn't until 1924 when football became more popular worldwide and gained recognition at the Olympics in France.
Were the Olympic Games a precursor for the World Cup, which was not organized yet?
Yes, you could definitely say so. The FIFA, the governing body of football, organized the first World Cup for 1930 in Uruguay. After 30 years of being part of the Summer Olympic Games, football finally set its own separate tournament, the World Cup.
I assume Uruguay, as the first host of the World Cup, also won it first because of the home advantage?
Indeed, they were the first nation to win a World Cup. Besides having the home field advantage, they were also considered the best football-playing country in the world. General South American and European countries were, and still are today, the far superior continents regarding their success and talent.
In the 21 editions, there have been 8 countries winning the World Cup. 6 of them managed to win the trophy on home soil, with the two exceptions being Spain and Brazil. Spain hosted the World Cup in 1982, but first won it in 2010. Brazil hosted the World Cup twice, in 1950 and in 2014, but won it on 5 other occasions.
In this year's World Cup in Russia, 32 teams are competing. Were there any major changes before? I assume it changed from time to time.
Yes, that is correct. For the first World Cup in Uruguay, only 13 teams entered. Because traveling was a bigger issue in the 1930s, only 4 European countries participated. Unlike today, there wasn't a qualification process, with the countries only deciding 2 months before the tournament whether they would compete or not.
The 4 countries from Europe were France, Yugoslavia, Belgium and Romania. Over the course of time, the number of participants grew. In 1982, 24 teams competed, and in 1998 it was extended to 32 teams.
For the future, FIFA plans to expand the number of participants even more. We can probably expect up to 48 countries in a World Cup in the next 10 years.
We talked briefly about the history and how the World Cup was founded. Also, we mentioned the change of participants for the World Cup. Before we mention a few interesting records and statistics, I'd like to know if there were any major rule changes for the sport and consequently the World Cup.
Absolutely, they were. One of them is, for example, a new offside rule which was established in 1990. Its aim was to refresh the offensive game and make it even more attack orientated. Now, if a defender and an attacker were on the same line and the attacker was onside, it's not considered offside.
Another change was the golden goal.
I remember. Basically, after the group stage, if the teams tied over 90 minutes, they went to overtime. And if any of the teams scored, they won. After 2004, the rule was abolished. If any team scored in overtime, the match continued.
Correct.
Daniel, you want to mention an interesting statistic about the World Cup?
Sure, obviously, what comes to mind first is who won the most World Cups. Well, it is Brazil, with 5 World Cups, as you already mentioned. Nick, what about you?
German international Miroslav Klose is the all-time top scorer of the World Cup by scoring 16 times.
Impressive. It's also impressive that both Bolivia and Honduras participated in 3 different World Cups, but could not even win one game. Okay, let's talk about the sport itself. The World Cup's over and we have witnessed a furious final. So give me your thoughts about the 2018 World Cup, starting with the surprises and disappointments.
I know it hurts, but I have to mention it. The biggest disappointment of the tournament was Germany, who started as the reigning champions and one of the favorites.
Yes, I think no one can argue that. What went wrong?
There are several reasons for that failure. The squad lacked team spirit and struggled to make the most of their dominance.
Yes, but what did they do with this seeming dominance?
That's the problem. Nothing. They didn't know how to use their possession, and the numerous chances they created weren't really dangerous.
Who were the other major disappointments, in your opinion?
Spain and Argentina. Both countries once again didn't live up to their expectations.
They were facing similar problems as the German team did.
On a positive note, two teams we expected to do well actually were the biggest surprises of the tournament. Belgium made it into the semi-finals, losing to France, and Croatia even made it to the final.
These two teams showed that good individual players can make a decent team with great determination and spirit, comparable to the German side in 2014.
So the Croatian midfielder Luka Modric won the Golden Ball Award as the best player of this year's World Cup. Do you think it's the right decision by the officials? Well, I certainly do. He has been the best midfielder in the world for years now and finally got the recognition he deserves.
I would have preferred Hazard because he scored important goals for his team and impressed in each game with his dribbling to create important chances.
I think it was Kylian Mbappé, since he was the best player of the best team and therefore deserves to be called the best player of the tournament.
Well, do you actually feel that France was the best team on the tournament?
I wouldn't say so. I thought France played defensively most of the time and their opponents, like Croatia in the final, performed much better overall.
Kind of feels the same with Real Madrid on the club football level. They know they got the best players, focus on the defensive organization and destroying the opponent's game, knowing they will eventually still score because of the sheer quality they got in their squad.
I agree with your statements regarding their unattractive style of play, but I think there's no right or wrong playing style. If it works, it's good. When you look at the whole tournament and especially the knockout stage, I think it's hard to argue that France did not deserve to be the world champions, since they eliminated title contenders like Argentina, Uruguay and Belgium. Croatia, on the other hand, barely defeated countries like Denmark and Russia.
As I already said, I felt like Croatia was the better team in the final. But another crucial moment was when the video assistant referee awarded a debatable penalty to France. What do you think about the use of the video assistant referee in this tournament?
I think they did a way better job than in the last season of the Bundesliga.
And I also think it was the only really debatable moment with the video assistant referee in the World Cup. And I think the problem is more about the handball rule itself than the video assistant referee, because the rule is pretty unclear and needs to be fixed. And that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and we are looking forward to discuss the World Cup with you afterwards, and vive la France!